Welcome back, podcast friends, to another episode of Nerdaholics.
Our vintage geeks.
What do you want to call it?
Our vintage holics.
Yeah. So we're back. We're joined by Joe and David from Vintage Geeks. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. Just got back from vacation. Built a fucking lightsaber. I don't care if you're like, if you have a bucket list or not, you need to go make your own lightsaber. It is the most glorious thing I have ever done. I got done and I couldn't stop smiling. Like, legit best thing on the planet. Almost better than holding my own kids for the first time. Almost. Like, it's close.
I told you it was going to be awesome. They do everything like a production, you know? So it's not a come in, let's build it and leave. It's a story, you know?
Yeah. It is worth every fucking penny. I'm not even kidding. Worth every penny.
So now that you've been to, like, a Comic-Con, are these lightsabers, like, better than the ones that you see at a con?
Oh, 1,000%. Like, okay, so they, in, like, Disney Springs, they have a Star Wars Outpost place, and they sell, like, ArtFX versions of lightsabers, and they're fucking nice. I actually have one, and it's a gorgeous lightsaber. It's Luke's lightsaber, and it's beautiful, and I absolutely love it. So when you build your own, there's actually the ArtFX ones are really nice and actually have a little bit of weight, and they feel more like any other, like, they feel the best out of any other lightsaber I've ever held. The one you get at Galaxy's Edge feels like a fucking lightsaber. Like, it is hefty. It is solid. And the entire experience, like, the fact that when you're making it and shit's clicking into place and everything, like, you just get this weird, stupid feeling of accomplishment, even though, like, a fucking 5-year-old kid can make one of these. And then when, like, but the production of it all is, like, second to none.
The whole Galaxy's Edge, everyone is in character wherever you go.
Yeah.
A store, for food, for these experiences, when you're waiting in line, in the queue, like the Rise of Resistance line. I think I told when we were there in October, so we were in the Rise of Resistance waiting in line, and then you're like captured by the Empire, right? And they're they're like, you rebels go on this line, and you go on this line. And so the line next to us was this guy. He had a shirt, and it was a blueprint version of the X-Wing, right? And the Empire guy goes, "It's no wonder we captured you. You are stupid enough to have the blueprints to your most advanced fighter on your shirt." You know? So, I mean, that's just fucking funny, man.
Yeah.
I'd wear my safe Target shirt.
Right. how long does the process take to make this saber?
15, 20 minutes, maybe. Not even. Like, it's... But, like, so you have to make a reservation
because
it like months in advance. You can't do this and be like, "Oh, I'm going to do this on the fucking spur of the moment."
Yeah, dude, I tried to. I did our reservation for me and my son months ahead of time, 60 days ahead of time, and then when my youngest son decided he was going to come with us, and I tried to make one for him, could not get him in. Could not, you know, at any point in our 6 days, could not get him in. And I had alerts set up through special services that would, so, oh, if somebody cancels, I would get an alert. Nobody's canceling that stuff.
Right. Can I ask how much it cost?
It was like, I think with tax, it was like $260.
So
it's fucking worth it. Like, so I have no problem at all paying for that, considering like the one that I have, the ArtFX one that I have, is like $150, and that is I mean, it's like solid. I didn't end up paying $150 for it, but it was the best $260 I spent. Like, I got done and going, this will never be touched by another human being's hands other than my own. Like, now,
I did see a bunch of pictures of you, but I didn't see any pictures of you holding your saber in front of, like, the Falcon.
Dude, okay. This was our family vacation. Okay, so it was me, my wife, and my sister-in-law, and my niece and nephew. And I wasn't really keen on going to Florida in August because it's fucking hotter than Satan's furnace in Florida in general. Not to mention in the fucking dead of summer. So I'm like, oh, this is gonna suck. I go, okay, I will go. And they wanted to go because they wanted to go to Discovery Cove and swim with the dolphins and shit. And I'm like, I have no interest in that. I will absolutely take myself out of that, and whatever money we were putting towards that, I will go and take a day and go to Galaxy's Edge. I go, that's my compromise. That's the only way I'm really going, is because I want to go to Galaxy's Edge. I go, and Joe was like, just, Joe had gone earlier this year, right?
In October.
Okay, so yeah, just almost a year ago. And he was telling, he would post pictures and send me shit about it and just tell me all, he's like, oh my God, Galaxy's Edge. And he goes, I wanted to stay there at night to get a picture of myself in front of the Falcon, but Dominic was tired and we had to leave. And I understood that, because fucking kids in Disney are like, they can do so good for so long.
It's a ticking time bomb.
There's a moment where they are just so fucking overstimulated and they've seen so much and done so much that it eventually is going to turn a switch on them and they're going to fucking melt down. It does not matter. So I said, we will take two cars because I know it's going to be hot. I know it's going to suck. I want to be there until nighttime to see Galaxy's Edge lit up and take my picture in front of the Falcon with my lightsaber. This was all understood before we went. We get there and we're talking about plans and they go, we'll take one car. I said, the minute they said it, I said, we are not leaving until like 9 o'clock at night, at least. Okay. No problem. I wasn't even there fucking 2 hours and I wanted to leave because my fucking niece and nephew couldn't stop complaining about everything. The very first thing we did was get into the line for Rise of the Resistance. And I was like, we should hit it early because it's probably going to be a long line all fucking day. And we're going to want to get it done and over with. And the other ride shouldn't be as bad. Again, all I wanted to do was be in Galaxy's Edge. I didn't really give a shit about the rest of Hollywood Studios. But it was hot, so I'm like, fuck, I will go see the Frozen production. And I was cool with doing all the little kids stuff that was inside because it was relief from the heat. And I had all day. So I'm like, we do the Rise of the Resistance. We do Smuggler's Run. We bomb around here and there and whatever. We waste time until 3 o'clock when I go build my saber. We go have dinner. Like, it was, I had this whole day kind of planned. First ride, my nephew just starts in. Oh, this line's really long. I really wish we didn't have to wait in line. I'm like, oh my God, no. So, like, I legit just got on my phone. I'm just kind of waiting. I'm like, oh my God. Then we're going towards Smuggler's Run and they're like bombing around in these fucking, all the shops and everything and like picking up everything and like looking at it. And like, I'm like, dude, we've been here like 5 minutes. Like, you don't need to buy something right off. And everyone's kind of running around aimlessly. I'm just like, oh my God. Then the ride for Smuggler's Run is a 70-minute wait. And I'm like, all right, well, Rise was like 100 and something when we started. And it didn't take nearly that long. So maybe Smuggler's Run won't be as bad. It was damn near a 70-minute wait. It wasn't far off. And they already started melting down. And I'm just like sitting there going, I don't even fucking want to be here anymore. Mm. I'm like, I want to get on this ride. And the ride was great. Like Smuggler's Run was super fun. But like now I'm dealing with being fucking hot and everyone just being kind of miserable because of how fucking hot it is. But like if I'm having a good time, I can kind of get over the heat. But now it's just like them two complaining and just fucking moaning and dragging on. And I'm the complete indecision of everybody. I like by lunchtime, I almost looked at my wife and said, fuck that. I will lose my security deposit. I don't even want to do this. I'm fucking ready to leave. Mm. I was pissed, dude. Like I was pissed. So then I'm just like, you know what? I'm making my fucking lightsaber and I'm done. I don't want to be here. I would rather just go back to the fucking place, grab a book and read or watch some fucking something on my computer. Like just, I didn't want to do it anymore. So I'm like that. I was so super pissed, but this was the kicker. So I get done. I meet them and they're like, okay, we're all kind of ready to leave. And there's like, does anybody want to do anything else? We got to get our money's worth. And I'm like, whatever. They want to go. My niece and nephew then want to go on Tower of Terror. I'm like, all right, whatever. So they go on Tower of Terror. And then my niece, who hasn't really bought or done anything at all that she wanted to during the day, goes, I really want to go on the Slinky Dog ride. Look at the times and there's 60 minutes of a wait. Now we're like, it's only 60 minutes. It probably won't go that long. And it's in Toy Story Land. Like the other ride that they were in line for when I left them was 60 minutes and they got in and out in like 20. So I'm like, fuck it. I got to go back to Galaxy's Edge anyways, because I need a red kyber crystal for my lightsaber. We'll go do that. You guys get in line for the ride. We'll find a table at the little Toy Story Cafe and sit down and wait until you're done. It took us 20 minutes to go get my kyber crystal, bomb around. Like I was kind of going around, Galaxy's Edge with her again, and then I'm like, all right, let's go back to Toy Story Land. So we go back and we find my nephew who's sitting at a table waiting for everybody to get done doing their shit. And 40 minutes in, and my wife goes, oh, they're still in line. 60 minutes in, they're still in line. An hour and a half later, we're still in line. They waited in line for the fucking Slinky Dog ride for two fucking
dude,
hours.
I don't know what it is with that fucking ride. That was the only one we didn't go on because we had reserved it. Actually, that was the day, that the last day, and we had reserved that ride. It was in the afternoon, and that's when Dominic wasn't feeling well, so we went home early. But that for whatever reason, that ride is super popular. I guess, you know, because it's like a kid roller coaster that adults can go on too.
Yeah, I was like, I was fucking done. So they get off the ride and I'm like, let's go. Let's just fucking go. I'm done waiting. Dude, we couldn't even get out of there on time. So like now I'm just like, all right, let's fucking go. I've resigned. Now it's like really only 2 hours until it's dark. And part of me really just wants to make them fucking suffer and stay until it's dark so I can watch the big fucking animation thing on the Hollywood like theater outside, like, and go get my picture taken in front of the fucking lit up Falcon. Like everything inside of me was just like, oh, just fucking stay. But I didn't do it. We went home. But as we're walking out there, the kids go, oh my God, we need a glass of water. We're going to run into Starbucks and get water. Another 20 minutes while they waited for fucking two cups of ice water. Dude, I almost lost my... It was like... The takeaways of that day was the fact that Rise of the Resistance, best fucking ride ever. Hands down, period, best fucking ride ever. As a Star Wars fan, was everything I ever fucking wanted in a Star Wars ride. Beautiful. Smuggler's Run, super fun. Not necessarily worth a 70-minute wait in line. Wait until that fucking ride is a smaller wait time, but it's fun. Build your own fucking lightsaber. Absolutely worth every goddamn penny. Do not go there with your goddamn family. Just don't fucking do it.
Dave, I could send you the screenshots of the messages. He was so pissed off. He was like, dude,
I was done.
I was waiting for Florida Man story, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, really. I was done. But I honestly, making my own lightsaber was so completely worth it.
Yeah, I get invites all the time to go to Six Flags with my friend or his kid.
And you're like, nope.
Yeah.
He's a little bit older now, so like we do other stuff. Like we could take him to hockey games or ball games, and he's fine. So I'm assuming he'd probably be okay at the park. I just don't want to deal with it, just in case of the off chance of and having a meltdown, like, I don't want to be here. Let's go home, Jake. Like, no.
Yeah.
That works.
Yeah. No, and in all honesty, me and I met up with Scott Schutte while I was down there, and he fucking took me out to Universal. Oh, my God. Universal is the funnest fucking dope place ever on the planet, dude. That is so much fun. I couldn't believe it. Like, he got me to go on a roller coaster. I fucking hate roller coasters because I fucking hate heights, scared the absolute death of heights. I told him I am not going on a roller coaster. First thing I see when we walk in is this fucking monstrosity called the Hulk. And he's like, you're going to ride that with me. I'm like, I don't know if I can do that, dude. Like, I legit really thought that.
Lenny, let me tell you, and I think I told Dave this story. So when we went there in 99, okay, and I had researched everything. I always do the research. And so I did not tell my wife the secret of this roller coaster. So so you get on, it's a loop-de-loop, so you got a harness, right? So, you know, it's a click, 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 click as you're going up, right? And you're going, if I remember, you're going through it's just like a tunnel and it lights up and there's sound effects. There's sound effects in a story that like Bruce Banner is getting mad and he's turning into the Hulk. And when he turns into the Hulk, it's, I don't know, 50 feet from the top. But what you don't know is the roller coaster has a catapult like an aircraft carrier. So it shoots you up and out and immediately into an inverted upside down dive. And from there, it's just chaos. It's fabulous, man. It's fabulous.
Dude, I almost died. I legit like got done go. It was super fun. I'm not even going to lie. I had my eyes closed for a good part of it because, oh my God, there was just shit I couldn't handle. But like, so he had told me that. I think you told me that too, Joe. And then Scott told me that. And I'm just like, okay, once we start going up, I'm closing my eyes because if I don't know, like it's going to be the being shot out and then like immediately going down, that's just going to fucking scare the shit out of me. So when this happened, I kept my eyes closed for probably the first 15 seconds and then I opened it and I was fucking upside down two or three times. Like I was, oh my God, I got done. I almost punched Shooty. I'm just like, oh, fuck you, dude. Like, it was super fun, but I hate roller coasters. I won't do that shit again. Glad I experienced it once. Never again. Never. Nope. All set. But Universal was fucking dope. Like, just so much fun. Like, you walk in, like, the Spider-Man ride was was so much fun. We actually wrote it twice in a row. It was so much fun. And it's like, it's every childhood kind of reading comic book craziness come to life. It was just so much fun.
Yeah, it's been 20-something years probably since I've been to Universal.
Yeah, I've never been down there. So I've never been to that area of Florida.
Yeah.
Ugh.
It's probably been 20 years since I've been to a theme park. I think I was like 2003 maybe, like the last time I went.
Mm-hmm.
With Six Flags. We went to one in Kansas City like my senior year in high school. And they made a mad dash to this one wooden coaster because it's supposed to be like the fastest wooden coaster in the park. And we're going up the first hill, and then all of a sudden it just stops. And we're stuck 30 minutes. And some poor kid had to climb up the side of the railing to tell us what was going on. And he gets to like the last car and shouts out like what's going on, like how, and they're like, "Are you guys up front? Can you hear me?" "No." And so he had to climb up like three more cars and shout it all again. And you can tell he was just scared shitless. But they got us off like a
job.
They got us off like half an hour, and they gave us like some passes to jump the line for like the next three rides or whatever it was. So I guess in the long run it was worth it. But I'm like, fuck, we just got here, and like the first ride we get on, it breaks down with a Sonic.
Nope. All right. So you want to start with movies?
Sure.
Okay. I've only kind of seen two movies recently. I guess well, I'll start with the one that I liked.
Okay.
Oppenheimer.
Okay, yeah. I saw that.
Did you guys see Oppenheimer?
No.
I have not yet.
Neither of you?
No.
I liked it. Now, it was long.
It's long as fuck.
You know, I mean, obviously, I know that they built the atomic bomb in Los Alamos, but that was all I kind of knew about it, you know? You learned a little bit more about Oppenheimer himself. And I mean, what was kind of cool about it was like, he was like, what I thought was neat was like, he was like a ladies' man. He was pulling like a bunch of tail in, which I thought was kind of cool. you know, he wasn't like, he cheated on his wife. He got a divorce, you know, like, and then, you learned some interesting things. Like, Mark didn't like it.
No,
he's like the only person I know that didn't like the movie.
I'm the only person I've talked to who didn't like it. It is way too long. I don't like nonlinear storytelling where they jump back and forth. The whole stuff with him cheating on his wife, I just did not care about. So, to me, they could have cut that movie in half, and I still would have felt it in a long run time. The scene where they do the first bomb test, that was cool as shit.
Yeah.
That was, like, the only interesting thing for me. The hearing stuff afterwards, like, about, you know, should he keep his clearance because he used to be running around with the Communist Party, did not care whatsoever about. So like people were talking about like, oh, I love Robert Downey Jr. cinema. Like, I don't care about that whole part of the story.
Yeah, that was interesting though. I mean, that senator was trying to like was. Oppenheimer made that guy look stupid, and then the rest of that guy's career,
right?
He was trying to fuck him.
Right. Yeah. You know, I understand it's part of the story, it's part of history, so you have to tell it. But man, it's like I could have found a better way to do it. I mean, it just did not work for me at all. But I was literally fighting to stay awake. I unreclined my seat to keep both my feet up so I wouldn't fall asleep. I was still fighting. So then I was drinking my soda and eating popcorn, decided to try to stay awake. And then I'll never watch this thing again. Like, I know everyone's talking about how great it is and, oh, it's great storytelling and it's intense. I'm like, I was bored as fuck.
I mean, look at, I'm infamous for falling asleep in movie theaters. It was 3.5 hours, 3 hours?
It's over 3 hours.
And I actually stayed awake. So, but I love history. So I guess the history part of it, you know, and it was chock full of like guests, like Matthew Modine was in it. Josh Hartnett was in it. the guy that played Freddie Mercury was in it. I forget what the fuck his name is.
Rami Malek?
Rami Malek was in it, yeah.
I mean, it had a big cast.
Huey from The Boys was in it, you know. I mean, just a bunch of good actors were in it. So, like, I don't know, like, and Robert Downey Jr., like, I didn't even know it was him at first. Like, yeah. He looked like Stanley Tucci. He looked so thin in that. Like, so, like, I don't know. To me, it was really good. It was really interesting. It really held my attention. And I saw it, like, weeks after the premiere. And my theater was, and I saw it on a Tuesday at, like, 1:30. And my theater still had people. I mean, I probably saw it, like, almost a good month after it came out. So, I mean, it still had people in it, which I was surprised. You know, like, and then the only other movie I saw was Barbie.
I didn't see that one.
None of you guys probably saw Barbie because you're men. But I went with the girl. I was on a date and I saw it and I fucking hated this movie, and I love Margot Robbie.
And I hate Margot Robbie, so the movie's already got the strikes against me going in.
Oh my god! And look, and I you know, I'm all for women empowerment and stuff like that, but this movie was fucking miserable. I could not wait for this movie to get over. It and like the Will Ferrell part, like it was horrible. I don't know how this movie is getting such good ratings. I don't know how people are like, this movie's so good and there's underlining tones of, but it was bad, bad, bad.
It's just Warner Brothers' second highest grossing movie ever. So far.
Honey, you're not the target audience.
I get it, but God, man. I mean, I love, you know, chick flicks and shit. You know, I watch my fair share of fucking, you know, stuff. But oh my god, this movie was not good. It just was not good. I just don't understand how it's made this much money. And I own a pink Nike hoodie. I put it on to go to
this movie. You see? I support the cause.
Right. Laugh, motherfucker. Keep on laughing. I hear you in the background.
I'm glad it was you that saw it, not me.
I'm telling you, right? And like, you don't even get to see Margot Robbie's boobs or nothing, so it was really not worth it at all. Yeah. Did you see any other movies?
I went and saw Turtles.
Yeah.
I thought it was good. I'm not a huge fan of the animation style. I know a lot of people are liking it. I don't like this, like, make it dark and then have the neons pop. And I didn't care for Jackie Chan's Splinter. I didn't like what they did with the whole Splinter character. Besides that, I really liked it. I like the fact that they actually have teenagers voicing the Turtles. And it's something different. And some people are freaking out by the new April O'Neil. I'm like, I don't give a fuck. She's a high school black kid. I'm like, whatever. She's not the skinny white redhead girl from the cartoons, but it's a character. It's,
right.
She's there to report on the turtles. That's what she does. She makes befriends the turtles. My only complaint was, like, they have Rocksteady and Bebop, and they start off, they're good guys. I'm like, no, Rocksteady and Bebop are the bad guys.
Do they turn bad?
No. It's like they're working for the bad guy, but then when the bad guy goes super bad, they're like, oh, we should probably not work for the super bad guy anymore.
Right.
So. Besides that, I thought it was fun. I got to go early. I got to go like 3 days early on a special screening, like on a Sunday. So I did enjoy it. I thought that was a lot of fun. There's a couple kids in the audience. Like once the lights came up, I could see him like throwing big punches.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, oh yeah. Like that was me back when I was a little kid too. Like, mm-hmm. Like then I got on the way home, I ordered Domino's. I'm like, yep, get some pizza. It was fun. I had a good time with it.
Have you guys seen any movies lately?
No, actually, I haven't like really watched a movie in a while.
Not in the theater. I mean, I did watch Guardians 3 on Disney Plus.
I need to hear this review.
I mean, they It's better than two, obviously. Not my kind of humor. And I've said that from the get-go. It's just James Gunn, like the Suicide Squad, things like that. Just not my type of humor. And they just beat you over the head about the animal cruelty stuff. I mean, it's like, you're a piece of shit if you don't. I mean, it is super, it panders that so hard. And the other thing is, like you said, nobody dies. Like, fuck you. Yeah. You're going to have I remember the trailers or TV spots where it shows like Nebula walking with Star-Lord in arms, and you know that's misdirect. And you think he's injured. Right. Injured. He's fucking drunk at the beginning. That's what she's doing. It's like, come on. Come on. And then, the best scene in it was probably that Adam Warlock scene, and they really didn't do anything with him. You know, they...
Oh, it was a waste. It was an absolute waste of a character.
Yeah, yeah. You know, pivoted to the High Evolutionary. I don't know what the big deal about this movie was. This, you know, movie made a pretty good amount of money. I guess it's closing the trilogy and that kind of thing, but it's just...
Or is it?
Oh, yeah, and then you get the post-credit.
Star-Lord will be...
Star-Lord will return what? Where the fuck? Return where? Like, come on. So, yeah, I'm glad, again, I don't know, man. I'm in this mode where it's like, I'm thinking about it, I'm like, do I want to spend $15 to go to a movie, or can I just wait 60 days? You know?
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm getting burned out from the stuff. I mean, like, you know, Blue Beetle's getting really good reviews. I'm not going to the theater to see Blue Beetle.
No.
I mean, I'll wait for that. I don't care how good it is. And I don't know what's the next big one after that.
Did you guys go to the theater to see Indiana Jones?
No, didn't even see Indiana Jones.
Which I found really amusing that I would say within a week of Indiana Jones being out, I saw ads on TV that if you spent $30 at Applebee's, you get a free ticket to Indiana Jones in the Dial of Destiny. And I'm sitting there going, that is fucking painful if you're a week out and you're already having that promotion. Because that
promotion gone before the movie debuted.
Wow. Really?
Yeah, so because one of my regular customers, they brought me, they went to Applebee's and they should have brought me the flyer. Like, did you see this? I know you like to go to the movies. And they brought it to them even before it came out. They were promoting it with through the Applebee's.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I was kind of psyched for the new indie, but I really just, I think within the first 5 minutes of it, like the reviews coming out, I'm just kind of like, yeah, it doesn't sound like a return to form. So I'm kind of all set. I'm all right.
I thought it was okay. I don't care for Phoebe Waller-Bridge's character at all. And then I saw it was too long. And then they had too many chase scenes.
Yeah.
I get it. Ford's old. He can't do much. What can you do? You put him behind the wheel of a car or something where he's chasing somebody. And they do it like three or four times. I'm like, Jesus Christ. I'm like, so I'm glad this is hopefully the last one. They definitely need to pass the torch if they're gonna keep telling these stories. I wouldn't mind them just doing it, starting fresh, starting over with a young indie. Mm-hmm. Even though we had that young indie series back in the 2000s or early the 90s, whatever it was, go ahead and start over. Give it another try.
Yeah.
So what we kind of like to do is kind of like just go streaming service to streaming service. I guess we're just gonna start with Netflix, and if you guys have anything, then just jump in whenever you if you have anything or and if you don't, if you haven't watched anything on that service, then don't, I guess. Mark, do you have anything on Netflix?
I haven't turned on Netflix in 2 months.
Really? You still paying for it?
Yeah.
I have a couple things. The new Black Mirror came out, It was only like six episodes.
Yeah, I've seen like three of those. I haven't seen them all, but
yeah. I like.
You can kind of stop, dude. You like, in all honesty, it is not at all Black Mirror. Like, the only thing that was remotely, the only episode so far that's remotely close to being Black Mirror-esque is the astronaut one. That's even, like, anywhere remotely close to, like, a Black Mirror episode. Every other story is just kind of, like, just these odd stories. Has nothing to do with what Black Mirror has always kind of been about.
The Josh Hartnett one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I like that one. I like the opening one, too, where the lady was on TV, right? Or the,
yes.
It was, she became a show, yeah. And then, but then she was, yeah, a show of another show, and it was, like, that one was interesting.
I again, I don't think that they were bad episodes. They're just not really what I've come to expect from Black Mirror. It was more of a Twilight Zone episodes. Okay. Like, yeah, to me, it didn't feel Black Mirror. It felt like just Twilight Zone episodes that kind of had a little bit of an edge to them. Like, but, like, I always kind of think of Black Mirror as just being fucking out there and, like somehow technology-based or futuristic-based. So, and it, to me, it just didn't hit that mark. Like, there were good episodes and they were, like, done fine. Like, the whole demon one, there's the werewolf one and shit like that.
Yeah,
like,
werewolf one, yep.
They're good episodes, but that's like a Tales from the Crypt. That's not, yep, necessarily Black Mirror, you know? Like, it was just kind of, to me, it didn't fit right in that universe. So, it was good episodes, just not what I come to expect.
Yeah, they were definitely different. Like the kid that was filming the documentary, and then, mm-hmm, yeah, definitely a different feel this year. I would totally agree with you on that. But I did enjoy them, though. They were just different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Have any of you guys watched The Witcher?
I watched the first season and like three episodes of the second season. I have not been back.
I've only watched like one episode of the second season since the first season.
I'm trying to get into it. I just can't get into it.
Lenny,
just
hashtag restore the Witcherverse. Gotta bring back Cavill. Is he in season three, or is that the last season of him, or is that the new season, yeah, with Hemsworth or whoever
it's still him.
Okay.
It's still Cavill. It's still Cavill.
Okay.
I thought the season was gonna be the Hemsworth one.
It's still Cavill. These first couple, at least this season is, okay. Maybe it's half of him, and then it's gonna be
the other half.
It will switch over.
Yeah, because I see ads for it, where it's like part one and part two.
Yeah, I can't. I just can't. It doesn't hook me.
I mean, I liked the first season. I struggled to get through season two. And so when I saw season three drop, I'm like, I'll get there. And then once I found out it's only half of it, I'm like, yeah, I'll wait till the other half.
I like that world. I mean, hell, we played D&D, and I just can't get into it. I just don't know why. It doesn't capture me for some reason. Maybe because I don't play the game.
I played the game a little bit. I never got into it.
Yeah. Has anybody else seen anything else on Netflix? You said you haven't picked up Netflix?
No, I haven't even opened it.
No, not on Netflix.
I've watched The Lincoln Lawyer on Netflix. It's really good, actually. I was kind of surprised at how much I actually got into it. And I like that it's a procedural-esque kind of lawyer series, but you don't focus on like a bunch of different cases. Like, you actually take a season to focus on a case, and I actually enjoyed the fact that it goes 10 episodes and like really kind of dives into it. So really solid fucking show if you're looking for something to watch.
I totally agree. I watched both seasons of The Lincoln Lawyer. And they split the second season up into two sections. Like they did the first five episodes, and then gave you like a 2 month break, and then gave you the next like five episodes, or like maybe they give you four episodes and then give you a 2 month break and then give you the last four episodes. And I liked it, Lincoln Lawyer, and it's who wrote it? There's like
I don't remember.
It's a guy that does like lawyer shows, like made for TV lawyer shows. So it's like a guy that does like procedural lawyer TV shows. When you see it, you're like, oh, that makes sense. But David said, it's one case and you kind of see the whole case all the way through. So it is a really good show. I didn't think I was going to like it, and then I got hooked. And I ended up really enjoying the series. Both seasons, and you can watch them really fast. You kind of get hooked and you kind of just like fall into the thing where you watch a couple episodes a night and you actually blow through the series really fast.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move on to another. Want to do Paramount?
Okay, I got one thing for that.
I only got one thing for that too.
David E. Kelly.
Yeah, David E. Kelly. That's the
dude you were looking for.
Yep. So, which makes perfect sense, don't it? Boston Legal. David E. Kelly does a lot of legal TV shows, and it he's very smart, very very well written. It makes a lot of sense. It really does, and that's why it's a good show, because David E. Kelly doesn't. He does really good television.
Yeah.
Okay, so Paramount Plus, we both probably watched it.
Strange New Worlds.
Star Trek, Strange New Worlds. Season was great.
Yeah, it was good.
I got to catch up. I'm only on like episode 4. Is season done?
Yeah. It's all over. Yeah.
Was it 10 episodes or what?
Eight? Was okay. It 10?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
My biggest take on the season. Pike was not in one episode. Pike was not featured in any episode as the main character.
There's a couple where he was. I mean, they definitely jumped around to other characters, which is fine. Like the problem with like say Discovery is it's all about the one character.
The girl.
Yeah, and they haven't developed any other characters except the one who left the show. Or the Strange New Worlds, they're doing the entire cast, which is great. I'll do this all the time. It's like, you know, Next Gen all over again, where this is a Spock episode, and this is an Uhura episode, and this one over here is the Stranger, where is it, the Lower Decks crossover episode.
Lower Decks crossover one was great.
That's like the best episode of the season I've ever seen. And they even did a musical episode, which is weird, but it worked.
It was the musical episode was kind of my least favorite.
Yeah, I was fine with it.
Yeah. but it was a really good season, and it has a cliffhanger at the end.
Spoilers there.
Yeah, it's just a cliffhanger.
That's fine.
Yeah, but the Strange New Worlds season one was really good.
Yeah,
and season two they're doing a really good job with this Star Trek, I think.
So the thing I think I've said before, the difference with this show and Discovery, Strange New Worlds, I like every character on the show, in any scene they're in, they're not annoying. You know what I mean? And Discovery, I just don't like those characters. I just don't. And that's why I don't
at this point.
I didn't even know it was still on.
They have one more season coming up, and it's done.
Oh, okay.
I think it debuts here in a couple weeks.
Yeah, I didn't even know. Honestly, I thought it was done. So, is Spock gonna go back to Discovery? Isn't that where he came from?
No.
Or was he just in that one season?
Just in the one season.
Okay.
Discovery's gone. Discovery's in the future.
Oh, that's right.
See, you don't pay attention.
It's been years. It's been a few years. Yeah. My memory is horrible.
The Strange New Worlds Lower Decks crossover episode is probably by far the best thing ever. And the fact that it's also got to be directed by Franks, and they make fun of stuff from Next Gen on there is amazing. And I love seeing Jack Quaid up there as Wangler, and it's so funny how like he does the same mannerism as he does in the cartoon, and is all the same thing. It's great. It's like my favorite episode. Oh, so what's next then?
Actually, while we're on Peacock, have you guys watched Twisted Metal yet?
I watched the first two episodes that they released when it came out.
I finished the whole thing. It's corny as fuck. It's not like you're not watching this going, oh my god, this is gonna fucking win an Emmy or anything. But it is just ridiculously stupid fun. Just extreme violence. Fucking, if you've ever played Twisted Metal, the game, it's their best attempt at just being the most outlandish version of craziness that you can be. It's beautiful. Just watch it. It's fun. Like, it's a time killer. Like, you legit have nothing else to watch. Fucking throw it on. You'll have a good time.
Yeah. The one kid that I work with, he came in, like, the day, I guess, after premiere, and he's like, oh, my God, have you watched Twisted Metal yet? I'm like, I haven't yet, but I will get there. Oh, it's so much fun. And he pulls his phone out right away and starts playing the episode for me. I'm like, dude, I'm going to watch this at home in my chair. I don't want to watch it on your phone.
Should I finish it?
Yeah, absolutely.
How many episodes was it?
It's like 8, I think. Okay. I don't think it's 10, but they go by quick. They're only like fucking 30-minute, 40-minute episodes maybe. And they're like, it's an interesting concept, and the way they end it, you're just like, okay, whatever. Fucking, it, just go along for the ride. Just realize you're watching complete ridiculousness. But like, watch the quality of the performances that these people are giving, because it's not like Fast and the Furious where they are fucking trying to take themselves seriously as they take down or take a car into outer space and shit. Like, Twisted Metal knows it's being absolutely out of its fucking mind ridiculous, and they're okay with it, and every actor is on board with it, and it's just fun watching them have a good time. Like, that's all it is. It's a good time.
I think it's the only way you could go with that source material, you know?
Right. Because
it's a freaking right. PS1 video game. So. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Just completely violent. Like, really super graphic. It was high applause for, you know, doing something with that property and making it entertaining.
Is his car bulletproof, though?
No. No, okay. But like in the end, no one really dies because it's like someone dropped a fucking quarter into the machine and kept playing, or hit the fucking continue button. Like, you know, like you think someone's dead, and then next thing you know, like it's all set up for like the next season where it's like actually becomes a tournament where you have to like fucking kill each other with your cars. So it's kind of the origin story of what Twisted Metal becomes. So it's fun.
Reminds me of that shitty movie with Death Race.
Oh, yes.
Tarantino?
Yeah. I saw it's one of those guilty pleasure movies. Like, it's not meant to be a good movie, but it's just so over the top, and it makes it kind of fun. What do you got
there? Let's jump over to Hulu real fast.
Okay, I watched a few things on Hulu.
I watched the premiere episode of Futurama.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny how much they made fun of themselves.
They continue to do that.
Okay.
I think they're in 3 or 4 episodes in now. I watched today's episode. I thought it was good.
Okay. It was just funny that they just continuously crack jokes about being canceled and coming back, and like, how many times can you be canceled, and just being self-aware of themselves and making fun of themselves. I thought was kind of funny.
Well, like South Park does that. Family Guy does that. The Futurama's, they've been canceled like 4 or 5 times.
Yeah.
So the fact that they do keep coming back makes it worse. And they're not trying to, like, they're making the cancellation canon too.
That's funny.
And then Only Murders in the Building.
Only Murders in the Back. So I did sit down and rewatch season one and two.
Oh my gosh.
Preparations. Well, I throw it on my tablet, and when I go to the gym, while I'm sitting on the bike in our elliptical, I knock out like two episodes. So it's not hard to do.
Okay.
So like the hour and a half I'm at the gym, I can do like two and a half episodes. But yeah, so I rewatched season one and two to get ready for season three. I like season three so far. I don't like that Paul Rudd is the celebrity and he's not being Paul Rudd.
Right.
He's being another actor. Because season one, we had Sting playing Sting. And season two, we had Amy Schumer being Amy Schumer. And now we have Paul Rudd not being Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
So that's my only complaint so far. Everything else I like.
Yeah. I mean, it's when the spoilers, when the person dies, there was a funny line like, well, it's in the first episode, so it's not really a spoiler. But she's like, you got to be fucking shitting me. Because, like, again, somebody dies in the building. I mean, the show's called Only Murders in the Building.
Yeah, so it's the third year.
Right, the third murder in the building. And it was just perfect comedy. Like, it really was. And Selena Gomez was like, you got to be fucking shitting me. It was just funny. I don't really know. I think this is the last season of it, though.
I mean, I don't know how long they keep going with it. I love watching Steve Martin and Martin Short work together, though. So you put those two on anything, and it's funny to watch.
Yeah, that's true. You can't go wrong with that.
And I think he's really done, though. I think this is the last project he's going to work on.
Oh, yeah, they're getting older. They've done their time. It's time to retire. They probably talked him into the show as, let's go do one last hurrah and be kind of fun. We'll pair you up with a fucking 20-year-old girl.
Yeah.
And it'd be hilarious. These two old men and some young girl.
Yeah, it works though. It is a good show. It's funny.
Oh, it's hilarious.
For two old guys and a chick. It works though. It's a pretty good show. What else? On Hulu, I watch a show called Reservation Dogs. It's about a bunch of like teenage kids that live on an Indian reservation. It's a well done show. I don't know if it's directed by it, but it's Taika Waititi's like a producer of it. So, but it's just a show about teenage kids that live on an Indian reservation. Now there were two seasons and I thought that was going to be it, but then I guess a third season came out, which I thought it ended great on two seasons, but maybe it got really good ratings and they brought back a third. I've only seen like an episode of season three, but it, to me, it was one of those things where like it ended so perfectly. I wish that it didn't come back. Like, I wish it just would have ended, you know, because I don't want them to ruin what was a good show. But we'll see. Maybe season three is good. I don't know. It just dropped, though. And then, of course, we all watched The Bear season two.
Yeah, it was great.
Really good. I mean, if you haven't watched The Bear by now, you really need to jump on that train.
Fantastic.
I fucking love that show.
All the stuff. What's his name? The one, the cousin, the one, the brother.
Richie.
All the stuff with Richie was great. Like, I love it I love it when they were like, you know, his. I love his arc, but you know, things like when they were interviewing people and the one lady left, and she's like, oh, I think she's the one. He's like, are you fucking kidding me? Look what I did, you know, with the napkin and this fork was sideways or whatever. She's not going to get us a star. Fuck that, you know? It's just really cool. Really cool.
Richie's arc was really good this season, from him not wanting to fix anything or change anything to being probably the person who changed the most.
It was so funny because, like, the quiet moments in that show are so beautiful. So, like, the episode where the kid goes to Sweden or wherever to do the chocolate apprenticeship. Oh, my God, dude. Like, that entire episode was just beautiful, and it was so fucking quiet the entire time. It was just him learning and, like, his whole experience there. And just how peaceful it was. And then you go back to Chicago and it's just a fucking shit show. Like an absolute fucking chaos bomb has exploded, and it doesn't stop. But then you get like Richie's episode that kind of slows down and gives Richie a fucking moment to pause and take fucking stock. And it's like, it's a fucking art changing moment for that character where you just see that switch, and he does it so well. It's fucking an outstanding show. Like, easily one of my favorite seasons of all time.
You know that kid when on that baking episode when he's talking about he thought he was a superstar and then he worked with another kid. He was talking about Pong.
Yeah.
Because there's a picture, like one of the episodes, there's a picture of him and Carmi together. Like, they're younger. There's a picture of those two guys together. I'm guessing that's how he knew to send him over there to go train.
Yeah.
They were friends.
Well, you see, he is where Carm got trained. Carm went to Copenhagen.
Oh, okay.
Told the story. He got on a boat and fed the invisible cat.
Oh, okay.
So he sent them on his own same trip.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I know. The whole series is great.
We'll give you a little inside baseball here. The only bullshit thing is... at the end, when he gets locked inside that walk-in, every walk-in fridge has this push button. Like, you can't get locked inside a walk-in refrigerator.
No.
Like, even if the handle's broken, there's like a push bar on the inside.
You get out.
And you, no matter what, like.
Okay, we get it, Fire Marshal. Okay.
I'm just saying.
You saw the push button in the photos, the video. So that's the only bullshit.
Right. Like, you just can't. You just can't get stuck in a walk-in refrigerator. No. So, I mean, I guess it's for the show, but...
No, they got everything else, right? You got a guy disappearing to go smoke meth.
Right.
I've dealt with that. you get swamped. The most people will catch that. At the end there... The reason why the girl, I can't remember her name, she goes outside to throw up because the printer's jammed. They think they're caught up, but she notices the printer's jammed, and she knows they're fucked. And that's why she went to go outside to throw up.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
And that's when she also has the conversation with her dad. So, like, but yeah, it's like, yeah, the other bullshit was them, oh, we have 5 minutes to get out of the weeds. Oh, fuck that.
It's more like an hour or 20 minutes.
To dig yourself out.
Right.
Yeah, so I don't know. Hope you know. One, I don't know if it's going to just go one more season or whatever. But in my mind, the last scene or shot, how the series would end, maybe if I was the director or showrunner, is because you know the whole thing is about getting a you know their star or whatever, and you never see them you know the whatever the I don't know what the process is get it, but like say at the end they're all. The restaurant's closed and they're all drinking and bullshitting and the camera pans. And what do you put the star on? Is it show like on a plaque or something? Like that would be the last shot seeing.
Yeah, I would assume it goes on some sort of plaque.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That would be me. So.
Yeah. Like maybe a plaque by the door or something.
Yeah. Like and then you never know, like maybe you think they didn't get it, you know, or whatever. So anyway.
Yeah. When it pans out.
Yeah.
The last shot where it pans out by the door or something. They're sitting by the bar having a drink and it pulls out from the bar.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a great show. I had a lot of fun. You all love the Christmas episode. I could have dealt without it.
I loved it.
You know what? You're not a fucking Italian, okay? You've never seen an Italian kitchen during the holidays where everyone and their fucking brother wants to be in there. Let me take some of this. What's going on? Where is it?
I could smell that kitchen while I was watching that episode.
Yeah, that is, you know, there are a lot of truths in that.
Yeah. German family, we just see. Grandmama kicks you out of the kitchen, you don't go back in. She beat you with that fucking wooden
spoon. But see, the other thing I said was, I know Jamie Lee Curtis, she won... Academy Award for a fucking what was this?
Everything,
like that, which was an awful character. I like. There's no way this is a performance that tops that in spades.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, Really good.
And then it even carries over to the final episode when she's outside, when she's outside smoking a cigarette and like, and the son-in-law is like, come inside. And she's like, no, I don't want to ruin it. I don't want to ruin it. Cause she's so self-aware. She's so self-aware of herself.
You know,
and she wants to see their success, but then doesn't want to go in because she knows how self-destructive she is, that she doesn't go inside.
Right.
You know, like her acting is so good. So good. Like in this series, and really, so much better than in that movie. So much better.
Yes.
Well, I got two more things, but I want to, well, not in Hulu, but I want to go to, Max first. And then I want to finish with Apple, because Apple to me always kills it. But on HBO Max, I got two things. Do you have anything on HBO Max?
Nope.
You haven't started watching your Harley Quinn?
No,
I think it just dropped a new.
I'll wait till it's over.
I have two things on HBO Max. The Righteous Gemstones had their like third season. Have you guys, any of you watched Righteous Gemstones?
Nope.
I started season one a while ago.
Funny.
I need to go back to it. It is so funny. It is funny. I don't know why I stopped, but I knowing that it's been renewed and all that, I think we'll jump back to that.
You know, this was supposed to be their last year, but it got the highest ratings. And so they greenlit like a fourth season. Who's that guy? What's his name? He writes it.
I've never seen an episode.
Like he's Outbound and
Danny McBride.
Danny McBride.
He's from Fredericksburg. He's local.
He writes. He's the writer and the creator of that series. And I guess the season got really. No, I'm telling you, season one and season two are great. This was my actually least favorite, and it was still really good. But the ratings were really good this season, and I guess the ratings were so good that they greenlit a season four. John Goodman is great in this. I'm not much into like stupid comedies, but this one just takes. It's just funny to me. I laugh when I watch this show. It is just funny. And like I said, it got greenlit for another season. And then I don't know if you guys ever watched this show, but season two just started. Winning Time. It's the Lakers.
I just
watched
the first two episodes today. It's so good.
I thought that was just a limited like a series.
No,
I didn't think it was going to be a series. I thought it was just going to be like a.
They're doing the Lakers dynasty.
Wow.
Yes, they got 10 years to go over, or 12 years of Magic Johnson, right?
Shit.
Yeah.
So, yes, and the first season was great. The first two episodes I thought were great, too. Like, I fucking hate the Lakers. I hate the Lakers.
Yeah, I do,
And I love this show. But I mean, I don't know how true it is, but it seems like they're giving you all the inside dirt of how it really was.
I might hear if like people close to the team are not happy with the show,
which must mean they're telling the truth,
right? Yeah.
I mean, to me, the guy that plays Magic, he kind of looks like Magic. Adrian Brody looks
a really good Pat Riley. He's doing a really, really good.
Oh,
Pat
I can
Riley.
See that. I can see that. Totally see that.
Yeah. It's funny. Everybody in their roles, it like kind of nails who they are. And like, the only thing I know or remember from season one was that Jerry Buss was like fucking out of his mind mad about how he was being portrayed.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, dude, you've been a dick. Like, you're a fucking notorious dick. Like, honestly, if you weren't a dick, like, don't worry about what's being done because you know what happened. Like, you're just being a dick to show that you weren't a dick, but you are. fuck you, Jerry Boss. I fucking, it is such a good two first episodes of the season where you kind of get, it seems like they go through their next season really fast. Now, granted, it is a lot of his injury stuff, but like within the first two episodes, like you go through almost the entire following season up to the playoffs.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting how they're doing it and setting up the season.
Yeah. I mean, but John C. Reilly does a great job playing Jerry Buss.
Yeah.
He's great. I mean, like I said, I fucking hate the Lakers and I love this show. So, I mean, I can't wait because I know they're just going to make the Celtics look well, going to make the Celtics bad in the long run.
Well, the funny part about it is like, I love how they're portraying Bird already because him and, like, I read Magic Johnson's autobiography when I was growing up because I love that era of basketball. Like, I used to go see the Celtics play in the Garden during that time, like, during the season when they were going on championship runs and fucking going back and forth with the Lakers. So, like, that was my era of basketball. And fucking, when I read his Magic's book and like everything started coming out about Bird, about what a shit talker he is and how he'll just fucking single someone out and be like, I'm going to make this person look fucking ridiculous and it'll tell it to your face. So like, I kind of hope they bring that part of Bird out and try to make him look like an asshole, but Bird is notorious for just being a dick, but like being able to back it up. So,
yeah, I didn't know Larry Bird was like that until just recently. Like when I was a kid, I thought he was great, but I think that's what they.
Because you grew up in the Boston area.
I know.
He was a saint.
I know. They immortalized him back there, but come to find out, he was just a fucking prick.
Yeah.
Well, listen, most of the great players, I mean, you know, obviously their personalities and egos, I mean, they're not angels, so.
Yes, everyone outside Boston hated Cam Neely.
Oh, God, I had a Cam Neely jersey.
I guess he was a good player. I'm just saying, you know, you make saints out of your local sports heroes, and like everyone else realizes, like, oh, this guy's a fucking prick.
Not in my mind. All right. Oh, I just, and one other note, I know like we all like Perry Mason, but that got canceled.
The season two was not as good as season one.
Yeah, but I still enjoyed it though. I still liked it. And I mean, there's not too many like detective noir TV shows out there.
No, it's just, the premise was good. The execution of season two was not well. The story wasn't told well. It wasn't written well. The whole, they were guilty and he knew about it and he's concealing evidence. He's trying to expose the bigger picture. And they didn't do a good job of doing that.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I still enjoyed it, though. I didn't think it, I wished it was a third season.
Right.
But, I mean, that cancellation came along when, I guess, when HBO was chopping everything. So maybe there's, a hope. Maybe.
Oh. There you go. Start your petition. Hashtag save the Perry Burst.
Right. I don't think there's a huge Perry Mason following out there.
Obviously not.
Yeah, right.
My mom will sign it for her. She loves Perry Mason.
Right. All right. The only other thing I have is Apple.
Yeah.
I got a pretty decent list for Apple, though.
All right.
I watched the first episode of its the story of DC. Like it's called, I think it's called Superpowered, the story of DC. And I think it's like four episodes. I the first episode was really good. You know, going about the history, and they don't. It's not a company line type thing. Shockingly enough, you know, because they really talk about how. you know, creators are not, you know, not getting their due type thing, especially with Siegel and Schuster and things like that. So I thought it's a really good, you know, part one of part four documentary.
Yeah, are you caught up with My Adventures with Superman?
I got to watch the latest episode. I just haven't seen that yet.
It's good.
Yeah, I heard it's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
So on Apple, I watched the Zach Galifianakis Beanie Baby movie, the Beanie Bubble.
I want to see it.
I liked it, though. I thought it was good. Even though they did the thing that I hate where they jump back and forth through time. And each time they do make sure to put up the year, what it is. Like, is it 96? Is it 98? So that helps a little bit, but, man, they do jump around a lot. But, no, I had a good time with that. I thought Zach Galifianakis was great. It's weird not seeing him with a beard. He's almost unrecognizable.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Banks is in there. She's really good. The one girl, I can't think of her name. She was in Cock Blockers and
goddamn. I mean, do they still have Beanie Babies now? I guess they kind of.
Not really, no. I mean, I'm sure there's stuff out there, but Geraldine, I'm not going to try to pronounce that last name. But she was really good. It's told from like this. Basically, the story of these three different women in his life and how basically he kind of used them and treated them like shit. And they try to basically got one over him on him in the end. It's an interesting story. My mom was a little bit into the Beanie Baby scene, like not as bad as she wasn't running around with a price guide and figuring shit out. But she came home with one like once a month. It's like, oh, this one's so cute, this little duck.
Right.
And then like a month later, she goes, oh, this little bear. I like this little bear. So I kind of remember seeing her buying the crap, but she never got crazy with it. But I remember seeing on the news a story about the overturned truck and the hour-long line at fucking McDonald's and shit like that.
Yeah, I remember the McDonald's thing, but that's about it.
And then trying to sue like the housewives or the housewives for making the beanie price guide. Because he wasn't seeing any money from the beanie price guide. It's all true. It's all there. But they take the movie and they kind of warp and distort it to make him like a... He's already a big piece of shit, but they make him look like an even bigger piece of shit. But it's still a good story, and like Zach Galifianakis nailed it. He knocked it out of the park.
Now, I watched Hijack on Apple. Did any of you guys watch Hijack?
Oh, yeah.
Did you finish it?
Yeah.
David, did you watch it?
I haven't yet.
I really need to talk about the ending.
Mark, I haven't started yet.
Are you going to watch it?
No, probably not.
David, are you going to watch it?
I mean, if you're going to ruin it, just fucking ruin it, man. Go ahead.
Okay, well, go ahead. I really want to.
Have at it.
Okay. All right. And I don't give a fuck who's listening, but... I have a question for Joe.
Mm-hmm.
The ending. I really enjoyed this. I enjoyed all of it, the whole series, up until the very last episode. No, did you enjoy it?
Yeah, we enjoyed it. It was a good. You expect a different type of show. Like you expect like Die Hard on a plane. Right. And that's not what this is. They do some really smart things. He uses his brain because of the type of, you know, job that he has. And this is like tailor made for a negotiator and someone who can look at all angles and, you know, figure out what's best. And it may not look best for the other passengers, but, you know, but so that's what I liked about it. There wasn't like, it didn't turn into this fucking, you know, slugfest, punching, you know, crazy Air Force One type movie, you know?
I agree with you all of that up until the very, very last episode, okay? Here's my only issue with it. Two things. One, when they get to his son at his apartment, okay? Why don't they instantly kill him like they killed everybody else? Okay.
Right.
Two,
Would the show have been a little bit better if he was part of the hijack? If he was part of throughout the whole show, he's saying he is a high negotiating business person, that he does things and he, the way he handles things, he negotiates people to do things the way he wants to do. What if all of this, like, what if he was a part of it? Because the underlining thing of all of this was to change the stock markets to make this company crash so that the prices would be worth something.
Yeah.
What if he was a part of it to a point to,
you know what? That's not a bad thing there. I love a good twist, and we don't get enough of them in a lot of things, you know? So that actually, Blaine, that's a pretty good little change there, where you, like, the last, you know, minute you find out he was in on it to make bank or something.
At the end, I kind of felt like there was a point where, at the very end, when they were the last two on the plane, I felt like they knew each other, like the last two guys that were on the plane. There was a half a second where I felt like them two guys knew, they knew each other. And like the fact that, like, they didn't kill their son, they didn't kill his son. They keep on referencing, and I thought there was going to be another episode where, like, then they would have tied all this in.
Yeah.
They keep on saying the whole time that he's like, he's this big negotiator, and he does things. And I felt like they were missing something there. At the end, I don't know. I liked it all. I just feel like there was something missing at the end. Like this one last twist where he's like I said, there, he's saving the plane the whole time. And then really at the very end, he's part of the hijacker. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
There's a, that it would make sense. I don't have it all figured out, but I think with the right writing and a smarter group of people in a room, you could make this work, and you could make this ending of this TV show 1,000 times better.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that. It was one of the things that it was. I felt that, that it was could have went another episode or two.
Could have went another episode or two.
Yeah, I really liked it all. There was just something at the end that I didn't like. I felt like there was something missing. Like I said, like, they're cleaning up their mess the whole way off the plane. You know what I'm saying? And then they get to this kid, and then they don't clean up the mess. I don't get it.
Yeah.
Which then led me to believe that he was kind of a part of it. You know, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't, but like I said, I really liked it. And like you said, it wasn't like, you know, like Air Force One, they're not fighting on the plane. And like, there was a lot of things about the show I really did like. I just felt like they were missing just a little bit something at the end. Have you guys watched Silo on Apple?
I've watched the first three. I got to get back to that too.
See, that one has like a mystery and a hook to it too, which I think.
Well, that's actually part of a book series.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Like, it there's something there that I don't know. There's an unexplained. There's like, that's keeping me hooked. And I get this was only like, there's not going to be a hijack season two. You know, this is a one and done. So whereas like Silo, like Mike Mark said, it's a book series. So then maybe they got this wealth of stuff to go off of.
Yeah. I think, I, I, I think but Silo, they, One of the things they would not have let that plane go over
that plane central London.
There's no way.
Central London. There's no way.
Yeah, they would have shot that plane down so many times. You know, like I said, it was really good. It was just missing something. A little something. But it was good.
Oh, it was very good.
If anybody else watch anything on Apple?
I started After Party Season 2.
Yeah.
Still just as good as Season 1. Every episode is another different movie type. Mm-hmm. Episode 1 was the rom-com sequel. Episode 2 is the Victorian mm-hmm. love story. Episode 3 is the film noir detective story. Mm-hmm. No, I like it a lot. I don't know who the killer yet is. I didn't figure out last season until the end.
Yeah, you'll never figure that out until you get to the last episode where they put all the pieces together.
My only theory is he accidentally poisoned himself.
This is my theory on it.
Right.
I think everybody might have done it because, like, everybody slipped him a little bit of something. Like, everybody gave him a little bit of medicine and... Between everybody giving him a little thing, he overdosed.
That's weak.
I know, but it did seem like it did seem like she gave him maybe Viagra or something, or she gave him Vicodin or something to stay awake because she didn't want him to go to bed early, and then like you know, so I think everybody might have slipped him a little bit of something.
No.
That's kind of my guess. After Party's really good. Season 1 was really good. And it's they're half hour. They're funny.
They're short.
Yeah. Tiffany Haddish is pretty funny. Yeah,
I'll watch. It comes out late enough to where I can at night. So like I'll watch it Tuesday night.
Yeah.
So I'll have to wait till when I get home on Wednesday. You got anything else for any streaming services?
No.
Did anyone watch on Prime the... Invincible. It was the Adam Eve origin story. And I'm getting a feedback. I'm getting my own voice back to me.
It's probably me. I probably got way too close to the mic with my head to that.
Now, the Adam and Eve one, it was really good. It was pretty clean as far as like Invincible goes. Like it wasn't like super graphic.
No, it was a great next season.
They didn't kill everyone on a subway train.
Yeah. It made me excited for it.
Yeah, it was great. Anything from that Invincible world now is something I look forward to every year, every couple of years, whenever they can put one out. I did pick up a new game for my PS5. I picked up the Jedi Survivor.
Oh, yeah, I got that.
Yeah, I've been playing it a little bit here and there. I think it's fun. I like it more than the last one, The Fallen Order. I like that you have different stances. You can switch from one lightsaber to two over to the lightsaber blaster combination. And I just wish you'd have more worlds. Because like you're running around and you keep bouncing around like five worlds and that's it. Like it's like, oh, let's go over to Jeddah. Let's go back over to this one planet. Oh, we'll go back over to the moon. Up back to the other planet, the first planet. So I wish you would have more of a galaxy feel, except this five or six planets you have to go to. Besides that, I like it a lot. The one actor kid who plays the main character, Cal, he's one of the guys from Shameless, the little redhead kid.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a lot of fun. I find some of the boss battles really fucking hard. If you're not good at nailing the perfect block, are learning the attack patterns, some of these boss fights can really fuck you over and make them really hard. But I'm grinding my way through. I think I'm like two-thirds of the way through the game so far, and I'm really enjoying it. Then behind that, I have Lego Star Wars Adventures to play, mm-hmm. so that'll be an easy breeze once I get that going. But that's all I've got.
Have you guys watched or seen anything?
No, just what? Secret Invasion.
Oh, yeah, I haven't seen anything on Disney.
I watched like part of the first episode and I stopped.
Yeah, you're not missing much.
No, it's a pass.
No.
How is Secret Invasion?
Boring.
Yeah, I have.
The ending sucks too. The ending sucks too.
Yeah.
You can spoil it. It's fine. What is the ending? Is it gonna tie into the universe at all?
I'm sure it will.
Yeah, I'm sure it will too. I'm sure you get on YouTube and get the
clip notes.
Clip notes, yeah.
Yeah.
The season breakdown. Yeah.
You get, you know, Super Skrull, Emilia Clarke. She's got the powers of like every Avenger, every villain. It's like 12 of them, you know. So at least the most powerful person.
She's going to be the new big bad
person now.
Nice. No, she's good.
Oh, well, that's cool. I like Emilia Clarke. No, right. You got it. Anybody got anything else?
Just watch them.
Nope, that's it.
I got to go to that mini Comic Con last week and meet the boys from Clerks. That was kind of cool. I accidentally snuck into the con. So we think you security C2E2 is laxed. I literally walked by the table where they were taking money. I didn't realize they were taking money. I just saw people talking there. I thought they were having a conversation. Walked around them into the showroom floor, and I'm like, oh shit, I'm in. I'm not going back.
Well, at least David paid for a ticket, but we snuck him in.
That's
right.
Yeah.
That's right. Early. I saw people walking with wristbands. I'm like, well, I'm glad I'm wearing my hockey jersey.
Right.
So you can't see that I don't have a wristband on. But yeah, I went by the Clerks guys booth. They had a tiny line, like four or five people. So I came back like 10 minutes later, and it died down to nothing. The one kid from Power Rangers had no one at his table. Either one of my pastors. But no, it was just a tiny, tiny little con.
Like, was it the St. Louis like Fan Expo?
It's called Mighty Con. The Elks Hall here in town probably would have been a bigger venue.
Where was it?
Collinsville. It's right across the river.
Right across the river. Yeah. Okay. So it was the St. Louis Con.
It's not the Fan Expo. The Fan Expo was actually. Fan Expo used to be Wizard World. Wizard World was big. It used to be at the Dome.
Right.
But this little thing is like teeny tiny. Like, I mean, I see more when I go to my little toy show at the at the Union Hall. St.
Charles.
Yeah. So it was okay. It's like I'm glad I didn't have to pay the $15 to get in. But it is worth it. The $30 or $60 total to get my DVD autographed by. Jeff and Brian.
I'm surprised the comic book men were there. Like, I'm surprised they had anybody there.
Well,
I mean, I guess a gig's a gig.
Yeah, well, I think they're like in New Orleans this week, so like it's on a tour probably.
Right.
Or they have like four or five names that are part of a tour, and then the rest of the booths are just local vendors. Because like I did see a booth from like one of the local comic shops that I go to every now and then, It's like a lot of the booths were just like toy guys and people are selling this random stuff. Just like you would see at C2E2 or any other con, but the booths were just much, much smaller. And like, well, there's much art stuff. And like I said, the guys, I guess, were kind of in charge of their own handlers. Like Jeff had his own personal handler, but Brian was taking care of his own stuff. So,
right.
But yeah, it was neat to go talk to him for a few seconds. Jeff's like, when he signed my DVD, he's like, can I curse on here? I'm like, fuck yes. And then like with Brian, he already started to write 37 before I could tell him, like, I really want to write. I'm not supposed to be here today. Right. But I'm sure he probably doesn't even do. He probably gets tired of writing that.
Right.
But come on, it's your go-to line.
Right.
You gotta put it. Yeah, I'm not even supposed to be here today. But no, it was cool just to see those two guys. But yeah, I walked the floor twice and like, 40 minutes. And I thought it took me an hour to get up here. So then I bumped around the city.
At least it's only an hour away, though.
I've been really crabbing. I actually got to pay for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. That's all I got. C2E2 tickets go on sale at the end of the month. I'll be going back up to Chicago.
At the end of this month?
Yeah, tickets go on sale at the end of this month. So.
It's late this year, right?
That's April.
April, yeah.
Better than February or March.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No August one like last time where you enjoyed the summer weather in Chicago.
Yeah, I did.
All right, guys.
All right, yeah, that's it. thanks for last minute, you know.
Yeah, literally, like, when he's like sending a message like at 10 o'clock, I was like, hey, you guys want to record tomorrow?
I got to hear him, man. So I was like, I'm actually off a night, and I was like, I'm not doing anything. Let's
yeah, it's awesome.
Let's do a quick little podcast.
Yeah, it's awesome.
The only thing I was going to do today is I think about going to see the Last Voyage of the Meter, which is the vampire on a boat movie.
I've never even heard of it.
It's got bad reviews. It's got like a 30% on Rotten Tomatoes. I'm like, I kind of want to go see this as a train wreck.
I've never even heard of it.
It's the story of Dracula traveling from Romania to London, and he terrorizes and slowly picks off the crew of the boat one by one.
Okay, after you eat everybody on the boat, there's nobody on the boat.
I'm not saying it's a good written story. I just saw the reviews were all really bad. I'm like, I kind of want to see this. It's kind of like one of those, like Winnie the Pooh thing. Like, I think it's going to be so bad, it might be good.
Right. All right.
Yeah. So, thank you for coming and chatting with us for a bit. And we got to do this again real soon.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. Definitely.
All right, cool, guys. Yeah, so until next time, good night.
Yep, bye, guys.